The shiur tonight is on this week's parsha, Parshas Bishalach, and the title of the shiur tonight is Fighting with the Name of Hashem. And this week's parsha happens to be my bar mitzvah parsha as well, so I'll try to do this parsha justice. We're going to look at the concept of Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shemo in the shira, but we'll start before that point, before Oz Yashir, and before that concept is brought into the Torah. We'll start with Shmos Perek Yedalid. And there's a little bit of background information, and then we'll try to delve into the idea of using the name of Hashem as a weapon. So if you look in source number one, it's Shmos Perek Yedalad Pasuk Tes. It says, "Vayedefu Mitzrayim Acharehem, Vayasigu Osam Chonim Al Yom Kol Sus Rechav Paro Ufarasha Vechilo Apiachiros Lefnei Baal Tzifon." So the Jews left Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim chased after them, and they overtook them at the sea, by the sea, where they were encamped by the sea. And the whole Egyptian army with Paro were there, al Piachiros Lifnei Baal Tzifon, by Piachiros, which was a name, before Baal Tzifon. So what happened in Pasuk Yud, Ufaro Ikriv, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael Seinehem, Bnei Mitzrayim, Nosea Acharehem, Vayiru Me'od, Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael El Adoshem. So Paro gets closer, Paro and the army of Mitzrayim get closer to the Jews, and the Jews look up, and they see this, and they get very afraid of the Egyptians, and they start crying out towards Hashem. So the Egyptians are closing in on the Jews by Yam Suf, and the Jews get very afraid. Vayomru el Moshe, hamibliing farim b'mitzrayim l'kachtanu l'amos b'minmar b'azos asisalanu l'hotzianu b'mitzrayim. So the Jews complain to Moshe, and they say, were there enough graves in Mitzrayim that you had to take us out of Mitzrayim? Were there not enough graves that you had to take us out to die in the Midbar? What have you done to us by taking us out of Mitzrayim? So the Jews are afraid, because the Mitzrayim are closing in on them, and they complain to Moshe, Halozea davar shir dibarnu elecha b'mitzrayim l'mor chadal mimenu v'na avdas mitzrayim kitov lanu avodas mitzrayim mimusinu b'amidbar. They say to Moshe that we already mentioned to you when we were in Mitzrayim that we'd rather stay in Mitzrayim than go out and die in the desert, and yet you took us out of Mitzrayim, and look at the situation that we're in. So how does Moshe respond? Look in Yud Gimel. It says, Vayomer Moshe la'om al tira'u hisyatzvu ur'u es yeshuas Hashem asher yaseh lechem hayom ki asher re'isem es Mitzrayim hayom lo sosifu lirosam od ad olam. So Moshe says to the Jewish people, don't be afraid, stand up and watch the salvation of Hashem, the Yeshua of Hashem, and which he'll do for you on this day, because that which you see the Mitzrayim today, you'll never see them again. Hashem, look in Yedalid, we're in source number one, Pasuk Yedalid, Hashem yilachim lachem ve'atem tacharishun. Hashem will fight for you, and you will be silent. Okay, so to summarize the Pesukim, Shmos Perek Yedalid, Pasuk Tes to Yedalid, the Pesukim tell us a story, and the story is that the Mitzrayim are chasing after the Jews by Yam Suf, and they're closing in on the Jews. The Jews get very afraid, and they complain to Moshe, and Moshe says to them, you know, just wait. Look and watch Hashem take care of business for you. He's going to fight for you. Hashem yilachim lachem ve'atem tacharishun. And you'll be silent. So we see this encounter between the Mitzrayim and the Jews. So I really want to understand, before we get into the idea of fighting with the name of Hashem, which will come out naturally as we move through the shir, the first point that we have to understand is what exactly, or how is Moshe addressing the people here, when he says, Vayomer Moshe l'om al tira'u, what is his address? What's the nature of his advice and his address to the people? So if you look in the Ibn Ezra, you find a machlokas here between the Ibn Ezra and there's a Yerushalmi. And we'll try to identify and define that machlokas and try to gain insight into the Jewish people at this moment. And then we'll get into Hashem Ish Milchama, this idea of fighting with the name of Hashem. So if you look in source number two, the Ibn Ezra on this pasuk, on Pasuk Yud Gimel, which is the Pasuk Moshe giving this advice to the Jewish people to just watch the salvation, the Yeshua of Hashem. It says, Hisyatzvu, look in number two, Yud Gimel. Hisyatzvu, or Ues Yeshuas Hashem, ki atem lo sa'asu milchama. So Moshe says to the Jewish people, you will not have to fight. Rak tiru es Yeshuas Hashem asher yaseh lechem hayom. You'll just have to sit back and watch Hashem save you on this day. Yesh litzmoa, so he asks a question. How is it possible that 600,000 individuals, 600,000 men, were afraid of those who were chasing after them? And why didn't they fight for themselves and for their children? So the Ibn Ezra has a very simple question, but a great question. Nevertheless, he says, Why were they so scared? They should have just fought back. There are 600,000 Jewish men. And what were they so scared of? So Hatshuva, so what's the answer? Ki Mitzrim hayu adonim leYisrael. So he says that the Mitzriim were the masters over Klal Yisrael. They were the slave masters. V'ze ador hayotze mimitzrayim lamad minu'urav lispol ol mitzrayim. They were capable from a very young age of incorporating and tolerating the yoke of the Mitzriim. V'nafsho shfala, and they had very low self-esteem. V'eich yuchal ato lilachim im adonav. How could they fight with their masters? V'chayu Yisrael nirpim ve'ina milumadim lemelchama, and they were very weak and they didn't know how to fight. So the Ibn Ezra asks a great question. His question is, why didn't the Jews fight back? Why were they so afraid of the Mitzriim? So he says that it wasn't physical, but it was mental, psychological. And because the Jews were enslaved to the Mitzriim, and because of the slave mentality, the Jewish men were unable to fight back, even though they outnumbered the Mitzriim. Halo tira, and you see this also, ki Amalek ba ba'amuat, Amalek was really not a large nation, and they fought with Klal Yisrael. Lulei tefilas Moshe hayacholesh es Yisrael. And if not for Moshe's tefillah, they would have weakened Klal Yisrael. V'Hashem levado shehu oseh gedolos, Hashem alone, who does great things, v'lo niskenu alilos, and let not haughtiness come from your mouth. Sibev shemesu kolam hayotzim mitzrayim hazacharim, and this is the reason. I think it's either Siba or Sibev. I'm not sure, but this is the cause or the reason that this generation died out in the desert. Ki in b'hem koach lilachim b'knanim, because Hashem knew that the Jewish people that left Mitzrayim would not have the ability to fight with the Knanim. Ad shekam dor achar dor amidbar, until a new generation arose. Shelo ro'u golus, who didn't see Galus, v'haisalhem nefesh gevoah, they had a larger, greater self-esteem. Kasher yiskarti b'divrei Moshe b'perek ve'elishmos. So the Ibn Ezra says a very fascinating idea. He says that the Jews, this is a famous concept, but the Jews had the slave mentality, and the slave mentality didn't allow them to fight. And in fact, you see this by Amalek, because Amalek really did not outnumber the Jews. The Jews were really more numerous than Amalek, but yet they were afraid to fight. And in fact, he goes so far as to say that it wasn't really the Cheda, the Meraglim, but perhaps there's a connection between the two that killed off all the Zecharim in the Midbar, all the Jewish males of that generation. But it was also because they were incapable, and this is probably part of the flaw, they were incapable of removing the slave mentality and feeling strong enough to fight for themselves. And that was necessary in going into Eretz Yisrael and fighting the Canaanim. So it's interesting, the Ibn Ezra makes an interesting point here, that really, this is what was going on here. They were afraid, and they shouldn't have been afraid, but they were afraid because of the slave mentality. So if you look at number three, the Torah Tamimah, he has a different approach, and we'll try to compare the Ibn Ezra to the Torah Tamimah and try to give an idea, a theory to explain the two, and then we'll move forward. So he says, his yatzvu or u. So the Torah Tamimah quotes Yerushalmi and says, Tanya, so there's a brisa, arba kitos nasu la'avosenu alayam. There were four groups of individuals by Yamsuf. Achas omeres nafol yom. So one wanted to jump into the sea and drown in the sea. Va'achas omeres, they wanted to jump in. Va'achas omeres nachzor leMitzrayim. Another group said, let's go back to Mitzrayim and we'll just give in. Va'achas omeres nase imam milchama. And there's another group that said, no, we have to fight them. Va'achas omeres nitzavach kinegdan. And another group said, we have to scream out. That was the screaming out towards Hashem. Zusha amra nafol yom. So the group that said, let's jump into the sea, amar lahem Moshe hisyatzvu u es yeshuas Hashem. So Moshe said, wait a minute, don't jump into the sea, but just stay there, stand up and watch Hashem save you. Zusha amra nachzor lemitzrayim, amar lahem ki asher yisem es mitzrayim hayom lo sosifu lirosam. The ones that wanted to go back, Moshe addresses, and he says, you're never going to see Mitzrayim or the Mitzrayim ever again. Zusha amar nase imam milchama, the ones who wanted to battle, to fight, amar lahem, Hashem yilachim lachem, that Hashem will fight for you. Vizusha amar nitzvach kenegdon, the ones that said we should scream out, amar lahem ve'atem tacharishun, that you'll be silent. So the Yerushalmi has a different approach here, and he says that it wasn't the group of Jews as a whole that were afraid, but there were really four unique classes of individuals by Yamsuf. And they all had different reactions. One group wanted to jump into the sea and I guess just drown. The other group wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. There were fighters, and then there were people who were screaming out to God, screaming out. And Moshe addressed all of those in his comments. So what's the difference between the Ibn Ezra and the Torah Tzmim and the Yerushalmi? And what can we learn, what lesson or what idea can we gain from both, from the Ibn Ezra and the Yerushalmi? And so I think there's a depth here. So I think the machlokas, what's the difference between the Ibn Ezra and the Torah Tzmim? So we've all been in a situation of a fight or flight situation. When you're really stressed and you don't know how to react, your instincts typically either tell you to fight or to run away or to flight. And that's a normal instinctual reaction to feeling an overwhelming stress. When you're in danger, when you feel like your life's in danger, that's how you react. So the machlokas is, according to the Ibn Ezra, saying that the Jews were so involved in slavery and the slave mentality, and it had so taken over their whole being that even their instincts of flight or flight were affected. That they didn't even react like a normal, natural, instinctual person would react in a situation of stress. See, a normal person, a regular person who grows up in a normal, healthy environment, when you feel stressed, you feel those two options of fight or flight. But the Jews were so ensconced in slavery, it was so part of their very essence, that even their natural instincts were abnormal. They didn't even emerge in this situation. So whereas the Torah Tumima is saying, no, that really, and the Yerushalmi is saying they have the slave mentality, but still their natural instincts of fight or flight were presented and existed in this situation. So what's the greatness, what's the Yerushalmi teaching us about Moshe Rabbeinu? So this is a beautiful idea. The Yerushalmi is telling us that Moshe was able to identify all the different potential reactions, and he was able to unite the classes of individuals with one statement. And if you look in source number one, and source number three elucidates this, in source number one it says, "Vayomer Moshe la'am al tiro hisyatzvu ru'u es yeshuas Hashem asher yaseh lechem hayom ki asher yisem es b'tzrayim hayom losasiv lo'rasam olam Hashem yilachem lechem atem tachrishon." So the Yerushalmi says that each one of the elements of the statement that Moshe makes to the people is addressing a different class of individuals. See, Moshe, so this just shows you the insight that Moshe had into human psychology, into human reaction. And Moshe understood that all these different elements emerged, and he was able to address them all and unite Klal Yisrael in this moment of weakness by giving them this advice. So the beautiful idea that the Yerushalmi is teaching us is that really the natural instinctual desire to fight or flight existed in Klal Yisrael, but Moshe was able to identify it prior to getting out of control, prior to the Jewish people being separated in all different directions, and he was able to identify it and address each element. And had Moshe Rabbeinu not been able to do this at this moment, it could have been disastrous for Klal Yisrael. You could have had a group of people going in one direction, a group of people in another direction. So Moshe's leadership is really exemplified in this Yerushalmi because it demonstrates his knowledge of psychology, his knowledge of the people, and the way that he addresses the people. He's able to unite all these different reactions, these different groups, together in this situation, which I think is a really nice idea. So we'll start the shir like that, with that concept, with that idea. But now we're going to go on to the main point, which is the idea of fighting with the name of Hashem. So there's a pasuk in the Shira, which is connected to the psukim that I just read, and the pasuk is in source number 4. It's Perek Tesvav in this week's parsha, pasuk Gimel. It's a famous pasuk. Hashem ish milchama, Hashem shema. Hashem is, we'll call him the man of war. Hashem is his name. So how is this concept connected to the previous psukim? So Rabbeinu Bechaya, number 5, says, Hashem ish milchama, l'fisha amar lahem Moshe, Hashem yilachim lachem, l'fichach amruhim, Hashem ish milchama. So Moshe said, wait a minute, Hashem's going to completely fight on your behalf. And their response after they saw Hashem fight on their behalf was Hashem ish milchama. So there is a connection between this idea of Hashem ish milchama, what the Jewish people perceived and how they reacted when Hashem fought for them, and the psukim before where Moshe says Hashem will fight for you. So this is the reaction, Hashem ish milchama. So what is the idea of Hashem ish milchama, Hashem shemo? So this is where we're going to actually delve into this weird, strange concept that the Shem Hashem functions as a weapon, as a method of killing others. So if you look in Rashi in source number 6. So Rashi goes on Hashem ish milchama, and it's Rashi Perek Tesvav Pasuk Gimel. Hashem ish milchama, Baal milchama. So Rashi is very careful, and he says that it doesn't mean that they saw a man of war, but it means a master of war. Baal means a master or control of milchama. Kimo ish na'ami, like Ish Naomi, V'chol Ish V'Ishech Miturgamin Baal. So the Tirgum of Ish and Ishech of husband is Baal. Baal is like it's a bialus, it's an idea of Rishus, of having some type of control. V'chein V'chazakta V'Yisa L'Ish L'Gibor. So Rashi says that Hashem, it's not that he appeared like a man, but Ish Milchama is an idea of a master of war, that the Jews, they recognized that Hashem was a master of war, that he was in total control of the Milchama. And then if you go on, Hashem Shimbo, the next part of the pasuk is Hashem is his name. So what is the connection? Milchamosav lo bichli zayin. So the wars of Hashem are not fought with weapons, with physical weapons. Hashem doesn't fight with swords or with javelins or with AK-47s. He doesn't need weapons. Ela bishmo hu nilcham. But Hashem fights with his name. Kemosha Amar David, as David says, V'anochi bo'i lecha b'shem Hashem tzvakos. When David goes up against Goliath, he says to Goliath, I'm coming to you with the Shem Hashem, with the name of Hashem tzvakos. So one idea, one explanation of Hashem Shemo is, A, Hashem is the master of war, of battle, and he doesn't need any weapons. Rather, he fights with his name. So what does that mean? We have to understand, what does it mean that Hashem fights with his name? That Bishmo hu nilcham, and David says the same idea when he goes towards Goliath, that I'm fighting with the name of Hashem. What does it mean to fight with the name of Hashem? Is, if you say the Shem Hashem, does it have some type of magical power? Did Hashem just say, you know, his name or Shem HaMeforash, and all of a sudden all the Mitzrayim are killed? So what's the concept of fighting with the Shem Hashem? The other explanation, Davar Acher, Hashem Shemo, what does it mean, the end of the pasuk, Hashem Shemo? Af Bishah Shehu Nilcham, even when he's fighting and he's battling, V'noke Me'oivav, and he's taking vengeance on his enemies, Oches Hu B'midaso L'Rachim Abruav, V'lazon Es Kol Bayalom. He never is removed from Rachamim, Hashem. So even when he's involved in the most destructive acts, he's also involved in mercy, and the way it's reflected is that he feeds the whole world. He takes care of the rest of the world. The lo kemidas malchei adama kishu osik b'melchama pone atzmol mikol asakim ve'im bo koach laso zuvizu. When a human king gets involved in war, he's the idea of war. It takes him away from the concept of midas rachamim, because war involves a certain emotion that takes over a person that's contradictory to having mercy. But with Hashem, it's not the case. Hashem can exhibit two characteristics that would seem to be opposed to one another simultaneously, and there's no problem with that. So let's just go back. We're going to try to explain the Hashem Shembo, that Hashem fights with his name. He doesn't need a clay zayin. He doesn't use his weapons. So if we look in Shmuel, Perek Yid Zayin, Pasuk Memhei, so this is the Pasuk by David, and there's another example that I thought of also that I saw, you know, many years ago, but it's when you do Shnai Mikra, you start getting used to the Rashis. So if you look at number 7, first is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Mem Hei. So David approaches Goliath, the Plishti, and he says, Vayomer David ala Plishti. He says to the Plishti, Ata ba elai becherev uvechanis uvechidon, that you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. Vanochi ba elecha b'shem Hashem tzvakos elokei ma'archos Yisrael asher chirafta. I come with you with the name of Hashem Tzvakos, the God of the battalions of Israel, in which you ridiculed. So David says to Goliath, I don't have the same weapons that you have, but I have the Shem Hashem. So what is that? What does that mean, he has the Shem Hashem? So look at the Malbim in number 8 on that Pasuk. It says, Vayomer David, Hodia lo. So he makes known to Goliath, Shema shelo lakach imo chare v'chidon. The reason why David doesn't have a sword and a javelin and a spear, kihu eno boteach al koach basar, because he doesn't rely on the strength of a human being, valinyanim tivim, and on natural elements, ki hakol hakli neshek shebiyadohu shem Hashem, asher chirof, b'shem azeh yinatzchu b'derach nes. The kli neshek, the weapon that David uses in his hand, is the Shem Hashem, in which Goliath the Plishti ridiculed and made fun of. And with this name, he will prevail with a nace, with a miracle. So again, the same idea that's mentioned in the Shira of Hashem Shemo, that Hashem uses, and that's quoted by Rashi, this pasuk by David, that the name of Hashem is used as a weapon. So what is that idea? What is that concept? How can you use the Shem Hashem as a weapon? And in what sense is that really qualify and as a weapon? Is it just if you say the Shem Hashem or the Shem HaMeforash, all of a sudden people will die? Is that really the case? It can't be the case, because we see the proof against that is that we see on Yom Kippur, when we mention that the Shema Meforish is spoken of in the Beis HaMikdash, people don't die then. They bow down and they say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusol Olam Va'ed. But what's the concept? How is it possible that the Shema HaMeforish, the Shema Hashem, has this power, this magical power? So I remembered another case which is similar. Maybe other people on the phone line remember this Rashi. So if you look at number 9, Moshe Rabbeinu is another example of an individual who uses the Shem Hashem for a destructive purpose. Well, not really destructive, but to kill somebody else. So if you look at number 9, so after Moshe kills the Mitzri, this is early on in Moshe's development. So Moshe kills the Mitzri, who was harming the Jewish person. So afterwards, he finds two Jews fighting with one another, Dasan Vaviram, according to Rashi. And if you look in source number 9, they see Moshe. Moshe says, "Why are you hitting your friend? Lama sakher reyecha?" And their response is, "Vayomer misam chal ish sarvishol feita leinu halargeni ata umer kasher arakta es hamitzri vayiram Moshe vayomar achinu da'adavar." So they say to Moshe, "Who made you this leader, this officer, and a judge upon us? Are you going to kill us the same way that you killed the Mitzri?" And Moshe got afraid, and he knew that now it was known, and Paro knew that he had killed the Mitzri, and he had to escape at that point. So if you look in Rashi number 10, he says, Misam chal ish varei odecha nar. So who made you into the man? You're still a young guy. Halargeni ata omer. Are you going to kill me? Ata omer. Mikan anu lemedim shahargu b'shem hamaforosh. So from this, because it says, Halargeni ata omer, that through your words, it's almost through the statement of Moshe, are you going to kill me? So from this we learn that Moshe killed the Mitzri with the Shema Meforosh. So once again we see the Shema Meforosh, the Shema Hashem, being used as a weapon. So Moshe, when he approaches the Mitzri, instead of taking out his sword or punching the Mitzri in the face and taking out his sword and destroying the Mitzri with his sword, instead Moshe says the Shema Meforosh, he uses the Shema Meforosh, the Shema Hashem, and all of a sudden the Mitzri was killed and died. So the question is, same question, what kind of strange idea is this? Hashem Shemo, this idea that the Shem Hashem is used as a weapon. It was used by Hashem in killing the Mitzrayim. It's used by David in approaching Goliath. And it's used by Moshe in killing the Mitzri. So what is that idea of the Shem Hashem, the Shem of Yudkei Vovkei, the Shem of Meforosh, that it could be used as a weapon of death, as a weapon of killing? So look at number 11, the Ramban, just before we move on and try to delve into this. It's just interesting to note that the Ramban in number 11, on that pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, he agrees with Rashi. He says, "Mikan anu lomdim shahargu b'shem ha'mefurash lashon Rashi." So the Ramban quotes Rashi, and he says that we know from here, from this pasuk, that Moshe killed the Mitzri with the shem ha'mefurash. U'medrash rabosinuhu. So this is a medrash. V'ani tama, but I have a question. Im kain mi higil l'rasha ki Moshe hargo. So if Moshe just said the shem ha'mefurash, and the Mitzri died, how do they know that Moshe was responsible for killing the Mitzri? So he gives a couple possibilities. Ulai samach yado alav vayikalehu b'shem Hashem. So one possibility is that Moshe placed his hands on him, and he cursed him with the Shem Hashem. Vizehu vayach, and that's what it means, vayach. So the Mitzri, the Jews saw that Moshe put his hands on the Mitzri, and then he said the Shem Hashem, and then afterwards, the Mitzri died. So there was some type of visual that the Jew had to know that Moshe was responsible for the death of the Mitzri. Om Ipnation Nafal Mes Lefanav Pachad Moshe Shi'alilu Alav V'Kavru B'Chol V'Ra Osa Osekin. Or the guy just died, he dropped dead right in front of Moshe, so it was clear that Moshe was responsible, and he buried him, and he got afraid, and the Jews saw him do this. V'yada Shuhu Agorim. So he knew that Moshe caused this, Ochashav Shahargu Becherev Ki Lora Rakakvura, or he didn't know that Moshe used the Shem HaMeforosh. He assumed that Moshe killed him with a sword because he just saw this Mitzri collapse in front of Moshe. So those are the different answers. He says, Valderech HaPshat Omrim, the Mefarshim say on the Pshat, Ki Ata Omer Perusho Choshev. It doesn't mean that Moshe used the Shem Hashem, but when it says Ata Omer, it means you're thinking. It's not a reference to the statement that he made, but it's a reference to his thoughts. Ki matzinu amira al machsheves alev. So he argues with this. So just interesting to point out, in the Ramban, it's kind of a side point, but the Ramban says that it wasn't just that Moshe used the Shem Hashem, but there was some type of recognition on the part of the Jew that Moshe was responsible for the death of the Mitzri. It wasn't just, oh, this Mitzri died, and there was no way to know that Moshe was responsible, but rather it was clear through the visual of that the Jew had, that Moshe was responsible for the death. So it's kind of a side point, but I just thought it was interesting. But nevertheless, the question is, what is the idea of using the Shem Hashem, Hashem Ish Milchama Hashem Shemo? That Hashem uses his Shem Hashem to kill, to destroy in war and in battle. And we see that Moshe, how did Moshe use it and David used it? So how does it work? So once again, we have to look at a couple of Midrashim, and then we'll get back to the idea. We'll try to explain the main concept. So if you look at number 12, it's Psiksa Zutrasa Shemos Parshas Bishach Parak Tesvav Simon Gimel. I was missing the Simon Gimel in source number 12. And it's a Medrash. The Medrash says Hashem Shemo, Davar Acher Hashem Shemo. Afa Pi Shekasav Hashem Ish Milchama. Even though it says Hashem Ish Milchama, Tomar Shehu Tzarech Losum Kli Zayin. So you would think when it says Hashem Ish Milchama that he fights with weapons. He says Tamalomar Shemo. So that's why it says Shemo Bishmo Hu Osa Milchamos. So the Medrash says the same thing that you would think, similar to Rashi. You would think that he needs weapons, physical weapons. He needs a sword. He needs a catapult. All those medieval weapons or a gun. But nevertheless. No, the idea is Bishmo Hu Osa Milchamos. Hashem does his wars with the Shem Shnemar, Ela Berechav Ela Basusim Anachdu Bishem Hashem Elokeinu Naskir. The Omer B'David Ata Boilai Becher V'Vuchanes Vani Boilach Bishem Hashem Tzfakos Elokeinu Archos Yisrael. So this is where Rashi gets his idea from, but the Medrash says the same similar idea that Hashem, you would think that Hashem needs weapons, Kamash Malon. No, he fights with the Shem. So same question as above. What is the idea? So one last Medrash, and then we'll get to the answer. So the Medrash says something very interesting. In Mechilta de Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Gimel, this Medrash, in source number 13, it says, Hashem Ish Milchama Hashem Shemo. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hareza Mikra Ashir, this is a very rich Pasuk. B'mekomos harbe magid shenigla lahen b'chol kli zayin. So there are many places where there's an appearance, there's a nevuah, an appearance of Hashem, so to speak, or there's some idea or an appearance. Obviously, you can't see Hashem, but there's some appearance of someone or something in armor, with kli zayin, with weapons, with armor. Nira lehen b'saryon v'kova. There's an appearance or an image in armor with a hat on, and he goes through many pesukim. V'nirmar v'yilbash tzedaka kisiryon. So he's dressed in righteousness like armor. So there's a reference to Hashem being an image of Hashem with armor on. There's a pasuk like that. The Gomer Nir Lahen Kegibor. He also appears like a warrior. Shnema Chagor Charbecha Al Yarech Gibor. So you have to gird your sword on your thigh, Gibor, warrior. The Gomer Nir Lahen Kepere Shnema Vayirkov Al Krov. Like I think that's a horseman. Nir Lahen Bekeshes. With a bow, Shenemar, Erya Taor Kashtecha, Vigomer, Nirlahen Betzina, with a shield. So there's an image of God with a shield, Umagin. Shenemar, Tzina Visochera Amito, his truth is like the shield. Vomer Hachazak Mugin Vitzina Vigomer, Nirlahen Bechanis. There are times where he has a spear, Shenemar, Lenoga Berak Chanisecha, Vigomer, Vomer Vahare Chanisecha, Visagur, Vigomer. Okay, fine. So there's many psukim similar to this one where Hashem appears like an Ishmael Chamo, where there's an appearance of Hashem, there's a nevuah, mar nevuah, where Hashem appears as having armor, as having weapons and armor, and so too over here, Hashem Ishmael Chamo. But then he goes on, he says, Shomei ani shetzarech mikol amidos halala. You might think that he needs all these things, he needs all these weapons. Tamalomar Hashem Ishmael Chamo Hashem Shemo. That Hashem is an Ishmael Chamo, but Hashem is his name. Bishmo hu nilchom. He fights with his shame. He doesn't need all the weapons and all these appearances. So then why do we have these psukim where there are images of God as a warrior? Lomar So Hashem, he caters to teach us that Hashem caters to the Jews, that if the Jews need any of these things, if they need God to fight like a shield, they need a shield to be protected, so God does this for them. So then the end of the Medrash says that poor non-Jews, Umos Olam, when they hear that Hashem is going to fight with them in the future. So we see from this Medrash a similar idea, but he says that there are many places where Hashem, there's a mar nevuah, there's an appearance of Hashem like a warrior, that he's girded in armor and his sword, but nevertheless, he doesn't need them. And he's just trying, these midrashim and these psukim are just telling us that if Yisrael needs this, if Klal Yisrael needs this, then he's capable of providing this for them. But in general, he fights with his shame, his shmo. So what is this idea? What is this idea that he appears, that Hashem appears like an Ishmael Chama, he appears like a Gibor, he appears with his clay Zion, but on the other hand, he doesn't fight with them. It's Hashem Shemo, he fights with the Shem Hashem. So how do we understand this? How does it tie into the Hashem Yilachim Lachem? And can we explain the use of the Shem Hashem as a weapon? So let's go to number 14, one last point to try to open up this area, and then we'll get to the main idea, the main answer. So if we look at number 14, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Hashem Ishmael Chama. He says, "Lefisha Amar Lahem Moshe, Hashem Yilachim Lachem, Lefichach Amru Heim Hashem Ishmael Chama." So when Moshe said, "Hashem will fight for you," they said in response, when they saw that Hashem did, "Hashem Ishmael Chama." V'Shem Tomar Milchamto B'Kli Zayin. Maybe you'll say that God fights, Hashem fights with weapons of war. L'Chach Nemar Hashem Shemo. That's why it says Hashem Shemo. Hashem is His name. Klomar Lo Ba'Amel V'Lo B'Yegia El B'Shmo. So that means that there's no stress and there's no energy and there's no tiredness on the part of God, but he fights with his name. Ke'inyan shekasuv, as it says, Hakel ha-gadol ha-gibor va-anora Hashem tzfako shemo. V'chein bevriya sa'olam ksiv. And so too, by the creation of the world, it says, Yotzer osa lachina Hashem shemo. That Hashem, he fashions it to establish it. Hashem is his name. Klomar bishmo baram. That he created it with his shame. V'lo ba'amel v'lo ba'yigia. And he didn't have any energy, no energy was put into it, and there was no yagiyas, like being tired or being fatigued. There was no fatigue or anything like that in creating the world and in fighting as well. So the idea of the Hashem Shemo, according to Rabbeinu Bechaya, is the concept that when Hashem fights, there's no stress, he's not tired, he's not fatigued, it's nothing for him. And that's the idea of Hashem Shemo, that you don't need clay Zion, he doesn't need to fight on the level of man. There's no need for Hashem to approach a warrior or to approach another army with the weapons of man, but rather, because that would reflect a need of God to put energy into it. But the idea of Hashem Shemo is that it's easy for God. There's no stress. There's no fatigue. He's not tired. So we have to understand that concept. How does that concept just, we'll try to elaborate. I'll try to elaborate on that concept and then go into the idea of using it as a weapon. So I think there's one idea, there's one main concept, this idea of Hashem Shemo, and all the Midrashim and Rashi are really pointing you to this idea, this concept. So what is it? What is that idea? So why did Hashem appear to them with clay Zion, Hashem Ishmael Chama, but on the other hand, there's Hashem Shemo. So on the one hand, the Jewish people, they had to identify, because Moshe said before, Hashem Yilachim Lachem Atem Tacharishun, that Hashem will fight for you and he'll battle for you and you will be silent. So the Jews, they needed somehow to identify that God was fighting for them, on behalf of them. And the idea of the image of Hashem Ishmael Chama is just to allow Klal Yisrael to identify with God as a warrior, to identify this midah, this characteristic of God, and that God is actually fighting for them. And that's the idea of Hashem appearing as a warrior. It's not that Hashem has armor or he has a body or anything like this. It means that the Jewish people were able to identify Hashem in the moment of Yom Suf as a warrior. They were able to identify this midah, this characteristic of God fighting this war for them on behalf of them. So they can only do that if there was some type of image or there's some type of, if they saw something going on here that reflected war in their framework, in the framework of man. Because man can't, a person can only think of war in his own framework. A person thinks of, when you think of war, when you think of battle, you think of, at least I do, I think of the Revolutionary War or movies that I've seen or World War I or World War II. When you think of war, you think of two sides and each one has weapons and they fight each other and they fight each other to the death. So the idea is that the Jews had to identify God as a warrior on behalf of them. So the image of the clay Zion is for the Jewish people. It's not for God. God doesn't need clay Zion, but it's for the Jewish people to identify and to Hashem as a warrior on behalf of them. Hashem Yilachim Lachem. But on the other hand, the Jews realize, the Jewish people at this moment, they realize that the war of God is not like the war of man. Because in the war of God, there is no opponent to God. There is no formidable opponent to Hashem. On the one hand, when a person thinks of war in his own framework, you think of two sides, and each side has weapons on their side, and then whoever's strongest wins. But with God, there is no opponent in it who can oppose him. The idea of Hashem Shemo is that it's easy for him. There's no fatigue, there's no energy, he doesn't need Klei Zayin, he doesn't fight man's war in the framework of man, because man is not an opponent to Hashem. He poses no threat to Hashem at all, and he's not even a warrior against Hashem, he's not a battler against Hashem. So it's a difficult concept, but the concept of Hashem Ishmael Chamo, Hashem Shemo, is very deep. Because on the one hand, the Jews had to identify Hashem as a warrior, but on the other hand, they recognized that the wars of Hashem, that Hashem as a fighter is not like a human fighter. That Hashem fighting an opponent is not like two armies going after each other, but on the contrary, to Hashem, there is nothing that could stand in his way. If it's Hashem's will to do anything, there's no opponent that's a formidable opponent. There's no idea of an army that Hashem has to be concerned about, or he has to think about, or he has to put energy into, or he even has to be afraid of. There's nothing like that in the framework of Hashem. So they recognize that Hashem yilachim lachem. It wasn't so abstract, the idea of Hashem destroying the Mitzrayim. It wasn't so abstract that they couldn't identify Hashem as a warrior on their behalf. No, they could. But on the other hand, it was clear to them that this wasn't the type of battle. This wasn't a human battle. This was a battle which reflected God's almighty power, and the idea or the concept that there would be anybody or any other force that could even oppose Hashem or even give Hashem any trouble or any difficulty, even that concept alone is contrary to the perfection of God. So the two ideas are mentioned in Hashem Ishmael Chamo, Hashem Shemo. On the one hand, they were able to see God as a warrior, but on the other hand, they knew that the wars of God were not like the wars of man, that they were beyond the wars of man, that there's no opponent to God, that God doesn't require Klei Zayin, he doesn't require any energy, he doesn't require weapons of man, he doesn't have to delve into the framework of man in order to fight, but because man is not an opponent of God, he's not a formidable opponent of God. So that's the idea. So how do you use Shem Hashem as a weapon by Moshe and David? So the same concept is reflected over there, because if you looked at the Malbim, I kind of read it, but if you look at the Malbim in number 8, source number 8, by David, he says, "Vayomer David, Hodiel lo shemashal lakach imo cherev v'chidon." Why didn't David take a sword or a spear? Kihu eno boteach al koach basar v'al nyanam tivyim, because he wasn't relying on the strength of man and on the strength of nature, of anything natural. Ki akol neshek shebiyado hu shem Hashem asher charaf. The neshek, the weapon in his hand, was the Shem Hashem in which the Plishti made fun of or ridiculed. So what is that? So it's showing you that David was able to recognize the same idea that the Jews recognized by Yamsuf, Hashem Shemo. They recognized that when God fights, there's nothing that could oppose him, and God will be successful no matter what. It's a different framework of war. It's not like two armies, because when you have two armies in a normal war, another army has strength. Each army has strength, and they fight against each other. Here, relative to God, there is no strength. So the idea that David is saying is that he's aligning himself with that concept. And Moshe Rabbeinu as well. See, when you align, it's not the Shem HaMeforesh that has a magical power, but it's the idea that a person is capable of recognizing to the furthest ideal and to the furthest point that man has no power in the face of God. When you recognize that, so only then can you be a vehicle of God's hashgacha, of God's intervention. So it's not that David or Moshe said the Shem Hashem. It's not the statement of the Shem Hashem that is deadly or that is a weapon. It's the recognition on the part of these individuals that there is no power in the face of Hashem. That's the Shem Hashem. That's fighting with the Shem Hashem. That's the idea that you're so in line with the Shem Hashem. You're so in line as the Shaliach Hashem, as the messenger of Hashem, and you recognize that there's no power that could possibly even stand up to God, to Hashem. Only then could you be a Shaliach Hashem, could be the messenger of God. So it's not the Shem Hashem that killed the Mitzri, it was God that killed the Mitzri. But Moshe was a messenger of God. He aligned himself with that idea. Moshe was Anav Mikol Adam. He was such a humble person that he was able to align himself to the fullest extent with the idea that there is no human power in the face of God. And that's a very high level. That's why if you say the Shem Hashem, it's not going to work for you. To just say the Shem Hashem won't function as a weapon for you. But if a person's on the level where they could recognize that idea and internalize that idea, where they're not afraid of anybody else because they recognize that there's no fear and there's no power in the face of God and relative to God, when a person can recognize that fully, only then could they be the Shliach Hashem, the messenger of God, and only then could they be a messenger of the Hashgacha, a vehicle of the Hashgacha. So it's not the Shem Hashem that's the fighter. It's really Hashem that is fighting. But the individual who utilizes the Shem Hashem, who understands that concept, the concept that I've been elaborating, and they really internalize it and it becomes part of their being, only that person could be a vehicle of Hashem's Hashgacha, could be a vehicle of killing somebody else through God Himself. So once again, this is a very, I think it's a deeper concept. Does it make sense? Or yeah, it's good? Okay. Okay, so let me just explain this idea one more time. I'll just review the shir because it's kind of the end of the shir. So the first idea I just wanted to express about Bishalach was that we see the slave mentality, according to the Ibn Ezra, when they're at Yamsuf and they're being pursued by the Mitzri, was so far gone that they didn't even have any desire to fight. The fight or flight wasn't even there. They just fell prey to the Mitzrim. And they didn't want to escape. They didn't feel like they could escape, nor did they feel like they could fight. Whereas the Torah Tmima quotes Yerushalmi, which says that really they were slaves, but they still had their natural instincts of fight or flight, and there were many different reactions. But Moshe Rabbeinu, in his wisdom, was able to address each different class of individual and able to unite them in order to prevent the separation of the Jews in that moment. But then we see from Hashem Yilachim Lachem that the Jews say Hashem Yish Melchama Hashem Shemo. That in Oz Yashir, after the Mitzrim are destroyed in Yamsuf, there is a deep concept that they recognize that Hashem is the Ish Melchama. On the one hand, he's the master of war, but on the other hand, Hashem Shemo. And Rashi says, and the Midrashim say, that Hashem fights with his name. And so too we see by David and Moshe Rabbeinu that they also fight with Hashem's name. So we have to understand the idea of fighting with Hashem's name, but there's another medrash that mentions that Hashem appears like a warrior with armor and with clay zayin. So it sounds like a contradiction. On the one hand, he doesn't need the clay zayin, but on the other hand, he's appearing to them in clay zayin. So we've said that the idea was that the Jews recognized on the one hand that God was fighting for them in this war, but on the other hand, they recognize that the wars of Hashem aren't like the wars of man. And Hashem rises above the wars of man, because in the face of Hashem, relative to Hashem, there is no power, there is no strength, there is no army. And whatever Hashem's will is, he can accomplish. And that's the idea of the Shem Hashem. As Rabbeinu Bechaya points out, that there's no amel, there's no toil, there's no yagia, there's no fatigue, there's no energy on the part of God, because there's nothing that could actually be a challenge to Hashem at all, in any sense of the word. So the Jews recognized that. They recognized that God was their warrior, but they were able to see the battle of Hashem on a level beyond, you know, the human fight, the human war. Because they recognized that this wasn't really a war to God. This wasn't a challenge to Hashem. So too by Moshe and David. So they were on such high individuals, they were such high levels as individuals, that they were able to recognize this concept as well, that there's no power in the face of Hashem. And once they were aligned with that concept, they could be a vehicle of the Hashgachas Hashem. They could be a vehicle of God's will, of God's doing. So it wasn't that they used the Shem like a magical potion, the Shem Hashem, but it's really that the Shem Hashem is that concept, that they see that God is able to fight in a different way that man's able to fight, that God fighting is not against the challenger, because there's nothing that could oppose him. But once they recognize that, once they can align themselves with that concept, only then could they be a vehicle of God, a vehicle of Hashem. And that's how the Shem Hashem is used. It's not used as a magical formula, but it's used to align themselves with God's will as much as possible. So that's really the concept of the shir. If anybody has any questions, please do so now. Or if you want me to repeat the idea, if it wasn't clear, so I'll repeat it again. Anybody? We're good? Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you for calling in. Have a good Shabbos.
Good. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.